This is the Wally Show podcast with Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. You can always find us at wayfm.com/Wally or stream us live every weekday morning through the WayFM app.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money. It's not news. Think of it more as news-ish. It's The Wally Show.
Due to the pandemic, many dogs got used to having their owners around, but with things starting to get back to normal, dogs are back to battling separation anxiety with many owners heading back into the office.
Dogs are people too, apparently.
Well, you know what? You probably would agree with a lot of dog owners out there. I know Gavin is a dog owner.
I know.
You see her as a human being.
Yeah, right? And I miss her for the 8 hours a day I'm away from her.
Well, you
and
have she separation anxiety too.
Yes.
That's so cute. Well, maybe that's why one researcher who's also a dog owner created the dog phone, which actually makes it possible for your dog to FaceTime you.
Oh,
so
man.
They already have pet cameras where you can FaceTime your dog,
yeah.
But the dog has no control over that.
Okay.
What if he wants to call you and you're not there?
That is fascinating because I know people use like button train their dogs to like tap, I'm hungry, want to go mm-hmm. out, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see this if it gets the response each time it does it.
That right.
All of a sudden it's getting love from you.
Yeah. Right. Well, let me put it plainly. The dog phone is actually just another toy for your dog. But inside the toy is a mechanism that when it shakes, it knows it needs to FaceTime the owner through a camera.
Okay.
Okay. So there will be kind of like a laptop sitting up for your dog. So then it calls you on your phone. And you get to FaceTime your dog because the camera is already set up through the computer.
I can't okay? even imagine how embarrassed I would be at work to have this thing go off. I was, hey, I'm sorry. I got to jump out of this meeting real quick. My dog's FaceTiming
Bubbles
me.
Is calling
yeah,
me.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, after testing it out multiple times with her own dog, this researcher found it really did work.
It was very sort of exciting to get calls from him. He became a bit more anxious for me because sometimes I wouldn't get a video call. Call or he wouldn't ring me through the day and I'd be thinking, oh, he usually rings me at this time.
Oh no, my gosh. Then she's all worried. Guys, I'm going to have to leave work. My dog hasn't called me all day. I think there's something wrong. Oh man. Oh, I mean, there's part of me that loves this and part of me that just totally hates it.
I get it to some degree because I think of like women who don't have children. Maybe
sure.
their dog is their child. And so it does mean something to them. If they get a call from their dog and let them know, oh, their dog misses them.
Yeah.
I would love it if my cat Beanie Boo would call, but I doubt he ever would.
My cat, like when no one's around during the day, like my wife and daughter are gone and my mom that was up here has gone back home. She noticeably misses all the attention. So I'm home and I hit the door and meow, 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 meow. If I remotely sit down, whoosh, she's right up on
yeah,
me. So I get it. Yeah, I'd love to get a call from her too. But she'd probably just be calling and going, yeah, could you put on somebody more interesting to talk to? Like, cats have such an attitude. That's why they
That's
do this
very
with dogs.
True.
This is The Wally Show. That's new music from the band We Are Messengers. Come on, man. I really, really love this group. I love this song. And so we thought we'd look at this song and kind of talk about it a little bit here with you. Because there's a cool thing in there. Through every high, through every low, talking about Jesus being the constant in our lives. But life does have those peaks and valleys. There are highs and lows for all of us, you know, and they look different. And so I am curious, what is your life high and your life low? Like we do this at dinner table sometimes. What was your day high, your day low kind of thing as a conversation with the family, especially when my daughter was younger. But I'm curious for you, it could be life related, it could be spiritual, whatever, but what is your life high low?
And also, too, you can see God's faithfulness when you talk about these things. You know, like in the Bible, he was always telling, you know, the people that, you know, build this altar, build this out of rocks, just so you can remember and tell your kids about you how you saw the faithfulness of God. And I think when we think back to and remember those times where we saw God come through for us, it helps build our faith as well as those around us.
Yeah, because sometimes it goes in reverse. What's your life low, life high? Because the two are connected. Mm-hmm. Because I was at the bottom of the rock bottom here of my life, but then God, and you know it goes like that. So whatever the story is for you, I'm real curious, and we'll see how many people we can get in here real quickly, and we want to share with you too the album, the We Are Messengers album. We'll give you a digital download, and you can enjoy the rest of the album as well as that song too. Just for sharing your story of your life high and your life low. What is your life high and your life low?
Well, my life low was about 10 years ago when we lost our 8.5-year-old to leukemia.
Oh, no.
That was definitely my low.
Oh, without a doubt, man. Holy cow. I've heard that when this happens, sometimes couples grow apart. And, you know, more often than grow together. Like, did you guys struggle through any of that?
Well, same child had been diagnosed with autism about 4 years earlier, and those couples tend to break up also. Mm-hmm. And we made a vow at that point that whatever happened, that he and I would stay together. And we did, and we have, and we've leaned on each other, and God is good.
So what was your life high?
Well, throughout those years and a few years before the youngest got sick, our oldest child became addicted to drugs, and she has been in recovery now for 18 months.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got her back.
I'm really happy for your daughter getting clean. Like, that's a big deal because that means joy for the whole family, because addictions,
yes.
We all think we do it to ourselves, you know, with different addictions, but you drag everybody in your world down with you.
And she's been through so much therapy and stuff now that she understands all of those things. And I believe she's going to go on to be a fantastic social worker.
Oh, that's really cool.
I think she will help others.
Well, hey, we appreciate you taking the time and sharing your story today. And just kind of as a thank you from us and the band We Are Messengers, we're going to give you a download code, and you can have their entire new album, including the song Come What May.
Oh, wonderful.
So, Jennifer, what is your life high and your life low?
Well, I'm going to go the other way. My life low, I woke up in a jail cell and I had lost everything I had ever loved in my life.
So what was it that put you there?
I got on drugs and I did a lot of bad things, and it was really hard to ever think that I could come back from that. But December the 10th, we will celebrate my second grandson's first birthday. I have a wonderful, godly husband. I have my son back. I have two wonderful grandbabies, my mom. I have the most wonderful life ever. I have a life I never thought I would ever have.
What do you attribute that to?
Oh, that's just God. He brought me through all of that. He's never left me. And to think that I was 38 years old before I realized how much he loved me, and that it didn't matter what I had done, he was just waiting on me.
There you go. Your story is kind of what this song, Come What May, is all about. And so I'd love that we have the opportunity, thanks to the band We Are Messengers, to share this album with you right now. We're going to give you a digital download. You can have the whole thing and listen to it.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much. I love y'all so much.
Our pleasure. We appreciate you sharing your story there, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Henry Ford once wisely said, "Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right." And I love that concept because it really does go to your perspective. If you think you can do something, you can do it. But if you don't believe you can, you're going to fail. And that was the case for this mom who finished her college degree 30 years after she started.
Wow.
There was a time where she was like, I can't finish it and I can't fit it in with life. And she took a break, a pause. But then she decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to finish my degree. She did it, and she wants to become a teacher now, even all these years later, which I think think is so great. She thought that she could, and she did. That's what's important.
And I think a lot of moms out there don't make themselves a priority. They want to put their kids first, which is great. That's understandable. But what about making 2021 your year where you make yourself a priority and go get that education that you've always wanted at Colorado Christian University, where you can get faith-based learning? I went to CCU myself and got everything I needed straight online, got a degree in healthcare administration and psychology. And I'm so glad now, looking back, that I did it.
And she's a better believer.
Wait, what?
No, I can't say it with a straight face.
Just go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And you can email your back-to-school question for Wally and Betty Rock to answer at wallyccu@gmail.com. It's time for the positive to outweigh the negative.
This is the best possible job for me. I could literally make anything sound positive.
It's the Wally Show.
If I were a woman, this would be my worst nightmare. There was a lady named Emily who had planned on giving birth to their second child in a hospital. Totally get that.
Yeah.
And was already committed. I'm going to do the epidural. Absolutely get that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even think twice.
Ooh.
I know, but instead, she ended up giving birth to her son on their front lawn. Yeah, see? Terror in your heart to think of this.
Did she just wait too long?
Okay, she had been in an 18-hour labor with her first kid, and so when labor started, she was like, okay, I've got so much time, not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then they went from 3 minutes to 2 minutes to like 1 minute, and they're walking out the house and like...
Oh, goodness.
And what's crazy is... Like, this is probably the worst part. The husband posted on Facebook, so excited Thomas is here, and there's Ring footage. Their Ring doorbell caught it all, and he posted it.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine living in that cul-de-sac, looking out your window and being like, yeah, the neighbor lady's having her baby on the front lawn? Like, that's something you would expect to see, I don't know. Like,
in your neighborhood.
Maybe.
Yes, where
probably,
you grew up.
For sure.
Oh, my goodness. It was crazy. And the crazy thing is, too, the hospital is only 5 minutes away. And they still couldn't make
it. She just could not make it that far.
Couldn't.
Wow.
I guess because, I've never experienced it, but I guess there's probably a point, I would imagine, where, say, you're walking and the contraction is so bad, you're like, okay, we're just doing this here.
Right.
Because I'd be like, honey, we're 5 minutes away. Let's just throw you in the back of the truck. And she's like, no, we're doing this
now.
Throw
you in the back of the truck. Maybe it was a brand new car and she didn't want to ruin it.
It was her husband's car. He's like,
yeah. How ironic would it be if this kid grows up and he ends up being like a lawn master?
Yeah.
Like cutter?
Yeah, maybe so.
You know?
I don't know. Well, it's funny you mentioned that because the 911 operator walked him through the whole process and the baby is healthy, but the dad cut the umbilical cord with his weed eater. And so...
No, he did not. No, I can tell you're lying.
No, but everybody's doing fine. But that would have been a great end to that story,
it
right?
It really would. I agree.
And it seems like it would have checked out.
Boy, you got a friend in me.
It's great when you have really good friends in your life. You know, they bring so much joy to it. But have you ever had that friend in your life that you're like, man, why am I friends with this person? They just...
Yes.
Not very healthy for me.
Yes.
Don't look at me when you say that.
I didn't say anything.
It took me a second, but then I think, oh, wait, she's talking about me. So here's the thing. I came across this article that I found fascinating about four friends in your life, types of friends that you should break up with.
That you should break up
with?
Yeah, oh,
these
okay.
friends, okay?
Okay.
It's
okay.
from this author, and she has this book. I'm like, okay, that's cool. The needy friend, all right?
The needy friend.
And
okay,
goes,
so I'm thinking that's someone that just always needs something from you but never gives back?
Yeah, and it's that person that when you see their number come up on your phone, you cringe because you know it's going to be all about them and there's never going to be anything, like you're saying, Rock, coming back to you. And you have to have empathy for this person is what this lady is saying because they have unresolved issues, obviously. But her point is that empathy doesn't mean unlimited access to you either, which I'm like, oh, that's
okay,
actually really good.
Yeah, that's healthy.
And I am curious, as we go through some of these, do you see either friends in your life or do you see, oh, I'm probably that person? No one will admit that, but quietly.
I'm taking calculations in my head.
Look, there's one of these here that I know I am. Absolutely.
Oh, wait.
Absolutely.
I can't. Don't tell me. I want to guess.
We're going to do it last. Oh, it'll be blatantly obvious.
Because you've already hit the first one, so I want to see about the second.
Yeah, I'm definitely not the needy friend.
But oh, okay.
I'm definitely not the needy friend. The judgy friend Got one of them. Okay. The not happy for you friend. The people that can't celebrate in your happiness.
Yeah, that's not a good one either. I've been around those people. I try not to be that person either. Because especially at being 36 years old, single, you know, you want to be happy for your friends. You want them to share those stories with you about how they got engaged and all this stuff. Not where they want to hide it from you. You want to celebrate with them.
Yeah. I can just say this, that if your new roommate and best friend Nicole gets married before you,
I will have a full-blown come apart. But after that, I will be happy.
Fully understand that. Okay, so that's two friends, the needy friend and the not happy for you friend. I got two more, and I fall into the other friend thing. And it's made me think, okay, I need to really evaluate this in my life and be mindful of this so as not to run the people off that I love the most, you
right.
know? So we'll go through that in 10 here on The Wally Show. Uplifting Way FM.
No one told you life was gonna be this way.
This is The Wally Show, and friends make life much better, much happier. It's the people that you choose to keep in your life. You
they
know?
Are chosen family.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, family, you can't really control that. You're like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing here. You know, but like with your friends, you have a conscious choice that you're making to love them, you
Very
know?
True.
And so I came across this article of this lady had written about four types of friends that you might need to break up with if you have this person in your life because it's not good for you.
Or if you notice that you're one of these people, you need to change things around.
Ding, ding, ding. That happened to me.
Circle gets the square.
Yes, it did. And it really did make me reflect on this yesterday as I was looking at this thing. So I'll go ahead and start with the one that is not me yet. Okay.
Thank you for preferencing.
Yeah. There's the not you anymore friend. It's that friend that you have outgrown and they're like, you're not you anymore. Because life is a series of growth opportunities, you know, and you should be moving forward. You should be getting better, if you will. But there's some people that want to keep you back to the old you or whatever.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? I see. So if you've changed for the better and these people always seem to bring you down, you need to break up with them.
That happens with addictions and things like that. Like I know, like for me, I had to cut ties with some of my friends who didn't want to change their lifestyle.
Right.
And it happens with faith too. Like sometimes you change and as an extension of your faith, you do different things or you don't do certain things. And if you stay mired down in it, then you ultimately get pulled back in. And so that's a healthy thing. Doesn't mean you know, don't care about these people and you cut them out of your life completely, but you just limit their access kind
Makes
of
sense.
Thing. And so
Makes
finally,
sense.
Here's the one. This is the me.
Okay.
The negative friend.
You don't say.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
They're the people that are critical of everything, and they're usually unaware that they are negative, but and how that energy pulls down the people around them. But they feel, this is what's interesting, and this gets me, they feel virtuous by telling it like it is. Like they think, okay, I'm just telling you like it is, and you know, and they make it their job to point out all the wrongs with the world, but it's exhausting for the people around them.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's me.
So what are you going to do to change?
Absolutely nothing, but now I know it's me.
But you know what? Let's point out the negatives in the whole situation. Yeah.
And so then, now at least now we first step, admitting you have a problem.
Oh,
and
good grief.
It's baby steps from here.
Oh.
But no, I really do. Like, it does make me mindful of it, and I know, because I know I've come home from work sometimes and told my wife, you know, I'm like, I'm sorry. I know I have to be exhausting, but like, I will fight with everything in the world. You know, even things that aren't my fight.
And then you'll realize, wait, why am I being so negative?
I don't know.
Right, you have like these fake fights in the shower.
Yes,
like,
with
these
conversations in my head.
Haven't even started.
Absolutely. And so, like, I get it. And so that's something, like, as you listen to these types of friends, if you have them in your life, cut them loose. Or if you realize, hey, I might have those tendencies, it might strengthen all of your friendships by looking at these honestly and going, maybe I could make some changes.
Yeah.
Or not.
Oh.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And the other day, Fist Bump Ron, that's what Betty calls our boss, Fist Bump Ron.
Well, because every time he comes into the room, he always wants to fist bump. And he will not leave until he gets that fist bump.
Well, you can't leave a guy hanging.
So Fist Bump Ron.
That's on you. You can't leave someone hanging. He tried to elbow bump her the other day, and she's like, You're fist bump wrong.
Yeah, so, you're not elbow bump wrong. Come on.
So he comes in, and we're just kind of shooting the breeze about life the other day, and we started talking about binging TV shows and how Netflix created this thing, and where now, if you don't get a whole season and you have to wait week by week to get them, I lose interest. I want to watch them when I want to watch them, you know?
Right, and I think they're trying it both ways. Like, they give them all in one lump sum, but then other times they hold back. I don't know. Sometimes it works for some and not for others.
No, the people, when they give it all to you at one time and they let me manage it, those are the people I love.
That's the problem, though. You don't manage it. And then you end up 3 hours later just sitting on the couch and you're...
Yeah, I call that managed.
Okay.
I get to do what I want to do with it and not I don't have to wait for another week. Like old school TV, you know? Mm. So here's the thing, though. We got onto this little conversation amongst us, and I'm really curious where you land on this. What is your binge number? You know how those beds, they have the sleep number, you know, that adjusts your sleep? Mm-hmm. But what is your binge TV number? I'm curious.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
So what if it's a show that's an hour long compared to one that's 30 minutes?
I have two different numbers, yeah.
Oh,
I have a half hour and an hour long binge number.
Interesting.
Half hour show, 3 to 4. And I'll do 3 to 4 half hours in a row. Gavin, you just looked aghast.
My number's so much bigger.
Is it really? Oh, yeah. My goodness. Like, what?
My half hour number would probably be like 10.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is 5 hours.
I need to give you more work.
I do it on the weekends.
I need to give you more work on the weekends. And so, yeah. So what about you, Rock?
If it's 30 minutes, I would do probably maybe 6.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
If it's an hour long, I think I would do 3.
I'm a 2 for the hours. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to figure out where you're at. Okay. So we'll take your responses, 5 of you, because that's how we do 5 calls. Calls that you determine the rest of the number for everybody. And we'll take an average. I'm just curious whose it lands closer to, like Betty's, Gavin, or myself. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's how you can always be part of the show. We love having you on with us. And you can be part of 5 calls. Calls it right now. What's your binge number? 855-33-WAY-FM. Uplifting YFM, this is The Wally Show. Amanda, you are first up for 5 calls. Calls it. What is your binge TV number? If it's a half hour, an hour show, how many will you watch in a row?
Okay, if it is an hour long, I can only do 2. That
okay.
is pretty much my max. But what's odd is if it's a 30-minute show... Then
17. 17's my number.
If it's a 30-minute show, I'll probably do close to 6.
Oh, and that's more than the 2 hours that you would do with the hour show.
Exactly. So it ends up being more time, but with them being in 30-minute increments, it's like my brain just can do it. I think it's just this game I play with myself where it's like, well, it's only 30 more minutes. I'm not wasting
another hour. That's
but then
it right
I do
there.
Waste the other hour. But the good news is me and my husband have the exact same number on hour-long shows and 30-minute shows, so we can binge with each other.
Definitely helps, because my wife and I do not have the same number, and like she'll want to go to bed. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I want to finish watching
right.
this, and then I can't.
Right.
Or I have to watch it and pretend I didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
Tricky.
So I'm going to go with 2 for the hour-long shows and 6 on the 30-minute show.
Well, I got you down, Amanda. Thank you, girl. All right, Karen, you're up. What is your binge TV number?
I'm retired, so I can go 8 hours easy.
Wow. So that would be 8 one-hour long shows, or that would be 16 half-hour versions of a show.
Yep.
Karen, what was the last show you did this on?
I just finished a series of Downton Abbey in 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, those are hour-long episodes.
You know they're designed to last years, you know?
I know, but I get into it, and then it's like, okay, just one more episode.
All right, Kelly, where'd you land here on your binge number for TV shows?
On my 30-minute shows, I'll probably watch about 8 of them, and the hour one... 4. If it's a good show and I'm really into it, I can't stop watching it. I have to make myself turn it off.
What was the last show you did this on?
I watched, what else was that other one I watched? I can't even think right now. I can't believe I'm on the radio.
I can't believe I'm on the radio not watching TV.
Right. Yeah,
well,
that's
Kelly,
me.
We're going to add you into this list here. I just took some preliminary numbers from what people have been calling with off the air, too. And so it looks like the average one-hour binge number for everybody combined is 4.6 episodes.
Okay.
So not too bad, but that's... Oh. 4 hours of your life just in one sitting gone.
But you're happy.
But, yeah, very happy.
I have a friend who goes, wait, what? All the time when she misses something. Hey, it's Wally. And wait, what? Might be the same reaction you have right now when I tell you that United Faith Mortgage can help you refinance your home and get some much needed cash out to use however and for whatever you would like. And my friend and founder of United Faith Mortgage, Ryan, dropped this little wait, what on me.
Sometimes you can take out some cash and your payments actually go down. It's not every time, but I've seen it quite a bit.
I know it sounds too good to be true, but that was the case for me. Ryan ran the numbers and I can pull a really nice chunk of money out of my house and my monthly mortgage is going down. That's because interest rates are so low and housing values are so high, but it's not going to last forever. So make sure you talk to United Faith Mortgage today. So for a great way to better your family's financial future, call the people I trust. United Faith Mortgage. Start online. Call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Want to know what's going on?
I only found one result for your query. Isn't that interesting?
Find out now on The Wally Show.
So I am definitely the type of person who is guilty of using the same password for absolutely everything in my life.
Yeah.
Minus my bank account. That's a very unique thing. And then my student loans. I wish someone would hack that and pay it off. That would be fine with me.
Yeah, that's what everyone is doing. Yeah, let me hack your student loans and help you.
Yeah.
Passwords are so frustrating because everything, you want to do the simplest thing, like buy something online. You got to create a password.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yes.
I have passwords that I use for that.
And also, they have different specifications.
Yes.
So one of them, it's okay if you just put in your plain old password, but now it's like, well, you have to use punctuation and you have to put in your mother's maiden name
put
along
a
with
symbol,
your blood type.
Put a
it's
number.
Like, come on.
My problem is I have variations of the same password, and I never know which ones are for which.
That's rough.
And then I have passwords that I use for work-related things. So if something is work-related, I use this set of passwords. But I have to keep it on my phone or on my computer,
absolutely,
on my list of passwords, because I have no idea anymore.
I think if somebody did steal my phone, they would... have access to.
I still can't log into our stupid Facebook page. I tried to log into our Facebook account and I can't get logged in.
Here's what you need to do. This is what I do. There's a guy we work with, Steve. I call him Password Steve because he knows all of my passwords. If I can't get into my Apple account, I'm like, Steve, what's my password?
If Steve ever dies, Betty's just going to die too.
Oh, that's true. I won't know how to get into anything.
And speaking of passwords, someone released a list of the worst passwords for 2021. Some of the obvious ones are like 123456.
Or password.
Or password, which I think for simple things that you're logging into, if you just made it off the cuff for like a New York Times or whatever, like that makes sense.
I didn't hate that one. Like it was password with $2 signs is the S's is one I've seen people use. And I think we used here for the code to get into the building or something.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Stop. Stop. Shut your mouth.
Another interesting one is boo-boo, like B-O-O.
Oh, like you boo-boo beans, like your new
my
cat.
My little kitty cat.
Yeah.
Boo-boo beans. Well, I know
and
now
you
I
say,
can't use that.
What do you say? You say, you do you boo?
You do
so
you boo.
So you do boo-boo? I've
actually heard that doing passwords as sentences is better than actual, like, a password
I've
kind of thing.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah,
but
it's more secure if
I
it's
know,
a random
but then
sentence.
That gives me a longer password to have to put in.
Yeah, I know.
And sometimes when you're on those websites, they kind of offer up a password for you, and it's just like a string of like 20 different symbols, which you're never going to remember.
I am curious, Betty Rock, because some of your old passwords involved your cat Clemmers. Did you change those now that you have Boo Boo Beans? Is he your new passwords?
Or is this a rest in peace, Clemmers?
I haven't done that yet.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't. It's okay. He's new. Your new cat's new.
Yeah, but he's my heart and soul.
I know he is, but you can start new passwords
but
with him.
But Clementine, she was with me for 16
right.
years.
Yeah,
bless
yeah.
her sweet.
So he needs
home.
To earn his way into password.
And real quick, for everyone listening, what is your mom's maiden name?
No. Moving on.
Hey, it's the Wally Show. Who's this?
This is Suzanne.
Hey, what's up, Suzanne?
Hey, I was listening to you guys talking about the different passwords.
Yeah, it's so frustrating that you have to have a password for everything now, and it's easy to forget them, and you have so many different variations or incarnations of them. Like I was talking about a minute ago, I can't even log into our own Facebook account because I can't find the password.
What my company strongly suggests that we do is to use different song lyrics.
Oh, that's a really good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, question, do you need to put a space in between each word or not put a space?
Betty, if you're putting spaces gives them the password, I think that might be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a lot of problems, Suzanne. Where do I begin?
That's the tip of the problem iceberg for Rock. Uplifting Way of Him, it's the Wally Show. Debbie, what's up, girl?
Listening to this about, yes, I hate passwords. I have a big time problem, especially like with my bank, because you've got like 8 different security questions you got to answer.
Yes.
And then they'll just randomly pop up when you're trying to check your bank and there's something other. And I'm like, oh, I can't remember what I put, or I don't do it exactly like I did it.
That's
so.
It. Security questions are designed to be easy, like, oh, the thing you remember. But like, say, for example, the question, where did you go to high school? Did I write King's Academy? Did I write the King's Academy? Did I capitalize T in the?
Oh,
like,
gosh.
I just don't know.
I know.
Did I put White County, or did I put White County High or high school? Or
I think I've just hit my limit. I get so frustrated when I'm online and everything you try to do online, they all want you to set up an account. And it's just so that they can spam you, you know, they can blow you up with emails. And if they don't have a checkout as guest, I don't sign up for it because I'm like, I'm done creating passwords for things.
You show them, Wally.
I did. My wife is not getting Christmas presents she wanted this year because I couldn't check out as a guest. Uplifting Way of Him, this is the Wally Show, and we like to help out where we can. And so when we come across things we think are beneficial to you, we do a little thing called the scoop. So Betty Rock, what do you have the scoop on today?
So this is a helpful scoop for those who are expecting. So if you're adding to your family, having a baby soon, you want to get a baby registry on Amazon. I found out recently when I went to one of my best friends' baby shower, she was telling me that this is her second child, and so she wasn't going to have a registry.
Right, because we debated this, like, just like talking, we're like, should you really get a shower for a second baby?
Right.
You know?
So I was able to look at this registry. The reason she had it was because if you have a registry on Amazon, there's something called a completion discount. So if you are a non-Prime member, you get 10% off of anything on your registry once you have the baby.
Really?
And if you're a Prime member, you get 15% off.
So she put down the things she wanted, knowing she probably wasn't going to get them from people in her life, but so she could get a discount?
Exactly. So she could get that 15% off. But you can only get that 15% off if you have the baby registry completed before the baby arrives.
Okay. Do you send in a birth certificate?
That I don't know. Like, how do you prove? Do you send in a selfie with you and the baby?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know, but all that to say, you can get 15% off anything you want for your new baby coming up if you just fill out a baby registry.
That's good advice. There'll be people that try to beat that system, like upload a photo of them with like their husband in a baby bonnet, you know? We were surprised too that he had a beard when he was born.
And why do you need a year supply of Snickers bars for a baby?
Oh, electronic mail.
Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. If you ever want to get a hold of me, email me, wally@wayfm.com. It's just that easy. This was a response in response to an email that I had sent to a lady. She had asked me my advice during a problem that she had, and so she got back with me like for the update. She says, I wrote you back in June after my mom had passed away, and my aunt had power of attorney and took everything, and I was struggling to deal with that. And she says, you agreed with my husband that I should let it go and walk away. Because there were so many factors of this. It's like you weren't going to be able to change them. Mm-hmm. And it was just eating her alive. And so that was kind of the advice. And she says, for that reason, I found my own peace of mind. I'm closer to my husband's family than ever before. I guess hearing it from someone on the outside made me finally realize what I needed to do. And I've never been this happy. Like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
So the advice worked. That's
okay.
Great. But if you're her husband, you're like, I was telling you the same thing. That happens to my poor wife all the time. Like, I'll come home with some revelation. Like, honey, this is what I'm doing now, and it's because Betty said, you got to do it this way. And I'm like, it just made so much sense. She's like, I've been telling you that for a year now, you know? So I feel bad for her husband.
Yes.
But I'm glad she's at peace. And finally, I says, hey, I had to share this with you. My husband's a pastor of a small church in southeastern Massachusetts. We've always participated in Operation Christmas Child. This is where Operation Christmas Child will send shoeboxes that you pack filled with things that kids in developing countries need. School supplies and different items and fun things, and they get the gospel. It is one of the greatest things you can do that doesn't take a lot of time or effort, and it's their National Collection Week this week, so you can get your shoebox. Just go to SamaritansPurse.org, and it'll have all of the information that you need if you want to pack a shoebox.
And it's such an easy way to give back and make a difference.
Absolutely. But they had a bet at their church to pack 300 boxes. If they could, then the pastor, her husband, would stand outside in a Christmas tree costume on the street. And they collected 328 boxes, which is so great.
Wow, that's awesome.
I will say he was rocking that Christmas tree. She showed me a picture of it. But I love that, man. That's 328 kids that are going to get a box now and have their lives changed. I've seen their work firsthand. I've been delivering boxes with them, and it's amazing. So if that's something you want to do with your kids, again, SamaritansPurse.org, you can check it out. And if you are like, I'm just slammed, I don't have time to go and buy a shoebox and then fill it, you can do it online. They'll fill it for you, which is so great, and it doesn't cost a lot of money, and you still get to have the same impact. So if you want to check it out, again, SamaritansPurse.org, and if you want to email me, wally@wayfm.com. This is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
don't quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein, and they can also sell the chicks to other families as well, and so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast, so when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up, and if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
Just recently, we found an online calculator that will calculate how long it takes for billionaire Elon Musk to earn the typical American yearly salary of $51,000.
It's not long.
It turns out it's just over 2 minutes.
That is still a fact that I cannot wrap my brain around. That in the time it takes me to brush my teeth and put on my shoes, like, he makes someone's salary.
Yeah, yearly salary.
That's crazy.
So bad. Well, it's got a lot of people thinking what they would do if they had $1 trillion. And that's exactly what Jimmy Fallon asked his audience, and they posted these tweets.
If I had $1 trillion, I would have Jeff Bezos personally deliver my Amazon purchase. If I had $1 trillion, I would buy a rodeo, then I'd buy another one just so I could say, this isn't my first rodeo. If I had $1 trillion, I'd buy every house in the cul-de-sac for my whole family and then move to Hawaii. If I had $1 trillion, I'd buy the world supply of guac and set up stands outside every Chipotle, giving it away for free. If I had $1 trillion, I would hire Morgan Freeman to follow me around and narrate my life.
Yes! Oh my gosh, those are all so good.
I know. It just makes you think. The money is wasted on
the millionaires and the billionaires. We could do so much better things with it, like that guacamole stand idea. That's great. Sticking it to Chipotle
at the same time. Thinking of others.
That's a good, and sticking it to Chipotle for charging us an exorbitant amount for guac. All right, that's going to do it for your least of these. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And I came across this list of things that make you feel good, okay? And it's little things. That's the crazy thing. It doesn't have to be these big things, but like helping a friend or family member with a task. I'm a big helper person. I do like to help people.
You are. You're a big helper. Also, this is surprising because usually when you read a list, you think, oh, things that make you feel good is something you can buy.
Right.
But these are things that you actually don't have to buy. They just are good deeds.
Yeah. Like I, this morning, was elbow deep in a turkey trying to help out Ruth because I didn't want her to have to do this all by herself for the Friendsgiving.
Yeah, we're having a Friendsgiving event here at the station, and Ruth is just the nicest, but she did need some help, and you stepped in. Don't you feel like a better person for it?
I do, actually. Some of the other things here, just saying good morning to people. It's a really weird thing how, like, when you're in that place of just more joy, because you know when someone does it to you, and you're walking down, head down, trying to get something done, so it goes, hey, good morning, and you got, okay, first of all, what do you want? And then when you assess the situation and it's not threatening, you go, oh, good morning to you too. How great is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holding the door for a stranger. This one always makes me feel good. Because so many people are so rude today. And so when you step out of that, like I was at the theater the other night. And this is really just a segment on how great I am. So I was at the theater the other night, and I saw a lady with like struggling to walk. She had like the a walker and was trying to get through it, so she was older. And so I ran ahead of her, and I made her think I was just going to like cut her in line, because then it feels even better when you just do something nice. And so then I held the door for her, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much."
Aww.
Yeah, and then it was a two door thing, because then it was a little hallway, and then another door. So then I had to get the other door too, and it was a heavy one.
Oh.
But I did it, and I felt strong and kind.
Okay, yes. So this wasn't something meant to make you brag about yourself.
No, not at all. But it does. It made me feel good. That's the crazy thing.
And it didn't cost you a thing.
No, that's the thing. And so that's what I want to talk about with you right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. I feel good when. And then fill in that blank. And again, none of these things on this list are like buying yourself something. No. It's not pampering yourself. It's actually doing something for other people is maybe the thing that for you that makes you feel good. So I'd love to hear yours and see if it made the rest of the things on this list. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's the number. 855-33-WAY-FM. Just fill in that blank. I feel good when. What's yours?
When I witnessed my teenage son doing the right thing. A few years back, we were at the mall, and there was an elderly woman walking towards the door, and he went running by her, and my first thought, in all honesty, was, oh, he's going to be in so much trouble. I thought he was going to cut in front of her. He stopped, opened the door for this woman to go on through, and she turned around and looked at me, and as if he did good, Mom, and it was just such an awesome moment.
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah, you did good, man. You raised him right.
Yeah, I was so proud of him. It was a great moment.
All right, Kelly, fill in that blank. I feel good when.
So I am an autism therapist. I work with kids with autism and intellectual disabilities. And I feel good when my clients learn something new or retain a skill that they've been working for a really long time.
Oh, yeah. You get to celebrate in that accomplishment with them. I can't even imagine. I mean, that's got to be better than getting a raise, right?
Yeah. No, it definitely is. It's like Christmas. It's great.
Well, I really thought you were going to go, well, it's not that good. What's yours?
Well, I'm a retired nurse. Used to work neonatal intensive care with premature babies. But now I do in-home care with the elderly. So one of my gentlemen has dementia and is a cancer patient on hospice. So it makes me feel good when I can relate to him things that I have to help my husband with. Like, he's not the only one that goes through this, and he just gets so frustrated he can't eat and I have to feed him, and, you know, things like that that kind of take away his dignity.
I love that you've spent a life serving other people, but really keying into that thing, too, about you are giving this man dignity back, and I love that. That's so cool. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, Sarah, you're up. I feel good when. How do you feel in that blank?
When I cook for people, whatever they like, I like to make them feel good by feeding their belly.
That's it. Food is love, you know. I watch a lot of Cooking Network and food shows and stuff, and they always talk about how it's more than a meal. And my mom is wired the same way as you. She loves to cook for people. My dad passed away a few years ago, and at his service, she made every meal or food that he liked. and had a little story about why he liked that or where the origination of that dish came from for them. And it was just such a beautiful reminder of him. And it was a really cool thing because people kind of got to share in a little bit of their legacy. And it was all through food. Let's go to Gavin. Gavin, what makes you feel good?
I feel good when I get home, you know, at around like 2 p.m. usually, and my wife comes home a couple hours later. But I feel good when I get the chores done before she gets home.
Nice.
And she gets to come home to a clean house. Because I think I grew up where, you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And so sure. In my world, it was like, you know, like the wife gets the house clean for, like, the, you know, the husband when he comes home and all this. But I like that I get to be the person who cleans the house.
You get to be the wife. I love that. No.
And then get to hold it over her head.
Like. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because that's what women do. No, I know. I actually, in all seriousness, I think that's actually really admirable of you. Because a lot of times there are roles that people think they're supposed to fall
exactly.
into. And the fact that you guys don't have the roles and it's just like, let's just get this done. And you want to serve each other. That will make you have a super healthy long marriage, you know, so good for you.
Yeah, in fairness, I don't do it every day.
Well, yeah, no one does. We don't expect, you're a guy, you're not perfect. Lady Rock, I feel good when
I like to send happy mail.
Aww.
And that could be in the form of a letter through the mail, snail mail. It could be an email, it could be a text message, a call, just something that just says something that I'm seeing in that person and that I want to notice and say thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a really healthy thing to do. And when it takes a little effort too, it feels good because you're like, oh wow, they put stickers on this and it's
yeah.
so nice.
Litter stickers.
I think that for me, I feel good when I'm encouraging other people and I'm not really great at it, okay? Like, and it's not that I don't appreciate people, but I'm very task oriented and it's like, just get this done. And I find that when I take a moment to say something nice to somebody about the job that they're doing when they deserve it. And so Gavin, you are killing it, man. Like, you are so on
you.
Top of things. I really appreciate you. And so then I feel good when I say good things to people, you know, and it makes me feel really
what
good.
What about so, me?
Yeah, how you feel right now, Gavin?
I feel great.
That's I'm
all
doing I a stinking good job!
All right, right now it's Phil Wickham, House of the Lord, Way of Him. He's amazing, too. If he was here, I would tell him how great
Stop
he is.
Stop it!
If there was just somebody else I could compliment right now, I would just, I want to feel good about myself.
Me!
Who in the world could I? Oh, you know what, Lord? Thank you. You're pretty amazing.
Oh,
here we go.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And be sure to join our exclusive Potty Facebook group. You can find the link in the description of this podcast. And thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.